This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast
with Tony Bruschi.
We are talking with attorney Eric Bland. Yes, the Eric Bland from the land of Alec Murdaugh. But he's nothing like Alec Murdaugh. He's a good guy. He's the one that's been representing Gloria Satterfield's family, several of the jurors from the trial of Alec Murdaugh, and many others that have been so severely traumatized and wronged by Alec Murdaugh. And there is a scary thing happening. The possibility of an Alec Murdaugh murder retrial. Let's talk about that possibility of this going to another trial. And I think you very eloquently just laid out a very strong case, even if the financial crimes are not included in it. Obviously, there's an evidentiary hearing that's going to need to take place. Rendering an impartial and fair verdict objectively, that's the goal, no matter what. You represent
even the worst of us.
Exactly.
The reason our system works is because the worst of us get the same procedures that the best of us get.
Yep. And you represent those jurors, gave 7 weeks of their lives to render that verdict. The reality is, though, there are at least one of the jurors, not that you represent, that have given a sworn affidavit that says something about Becky Hill stating something that could have effectively affected that verdict. Kind of a he said, she said at this moment in time. How do you see that evidentiary hearing playing out when we have these kind of two conflicting sides right now?
Well, first, we're going to have to get the Supreme Court to appoint a judge who's going to oversee the motion for a new trial. We don't have that yet. I suspect that'll take place in the next, 28 days before the end of the year, 24 days or whatever. And then the hearing will be scheduled sometime in January for a status hearing, meaning the new judge is going to want to get up to speed, understand what the issues are, but the judge is going to have to set procedures in place, Tony. What is it going to be? Is it going to be in-court testimony by everybody that gave a statement or an affidavit in front of him? Is that going to be open to the public? Because these jurors live a very private life. Mm-hmm. They had 7 weeks that they gave. We don't want them to be more inconvenienced and more subject to public ridicule or public scrutiny than they already have been. So the judge is going to have to determine who's going to give testimony, what form is it going to come in, how open are these procedures going to be. Harpulian wants a full-blown evidentiary hearing. Before he even has the hearing, he wants to be able to depose all the jurors, including my clients. He wants to subpoena, Tony, their text messages and their emails and their phone records. I don't think the court's going to let that happen. Now, originally, when this came out, and I can't tell you what my clients have told me.
Sure.
I can only tell you what's in those statements. And I believe, my belief is, when they testify, whether it's in deposition, in court, under oath, I believe they're going to say something dramatically different from the affidavit that you referred to of the juror that Joe McCullough is representing. And I'll get to Joe McCullough in a minute. I think the other 5-6 jurors are going to also disagree. They're going to say that Becky Hill did nothing inappropriate, that she was a very warm, kind person who was accommodating to many different needs on a daily basis for about 18 people, because remember, it was 12 plus a six or four or five, six aldermen. So there was a lot of people. There were so many people, Tony, they all couldn't be in one room. There was a number in one room and then a number in the other room. And they kind of broke off in factions and they stayed that way. So they're going to say she didn't do anything inappropriate and certainly never said anything that influenced my verdict. Remember, this is their verdict. Mm-hmm. They own it. They want to protect it. They gave 7 weeks of their life, and they're greatly offended that they lost. Harpootlian said they lost their free agency and they were manipulated by Becky Hill. They're greatly offended at that because these are some very smart people who said, look, I listened to the evidence and this scallywag was guilty as sin.
Sure.
It was just the easiest decision in the world. And now Harpootlian's negating their listening to all the evidence the judge's instructions and saying, oh, Becky influenced them. Nobody is yet to say my verdict would have been different, but for Becky Hill. Mm-hmm. So originally I would have said to you, Tony, this is a slam dunk. It's not going to get reversed. Mm-hmm. Now, with that said, in the past week and a half, two things have happened, which now make Becky's credibility at risk.
Yeah.
Becky's credibility was always going to be on play. Now, though, she's brought up on ethics charges in the way that she ran her clerk of court's office, and that there may have been allegedly money misappropriated, either from child support payments that are made to the clerk's office or tours that she gave to people and charged for. That's one aspect of it, and that's serious. And it goes to her veracity, and her veracity is going to come into play on the jury issues. The second thing is her son, Cole,
yeah,
who's the director of information services for the county, Walterboro and Collin County. He was just arrested for wiretapping. Now, wiretapping, if you and I are talking and I record you, that's not wiretapping.
Sure.
Because one of us, we're a one-party state.
Sure.
But he broke in the two other people talking and wasn't part of that conversation, allegedly.
Allegedly, yeah.
And they confiscated Miss Becky's phone because they're concerned that some issues that he may have been overhearing were cluing her in mm-hmm. on what was going on the jury issue.
Yeah.
So now my fear is Becky has her credibility shot. Number two, and you know this, it's been referred now to the attorney general into a grand jury for her.
Yeah.
My suspicion is she can't talk. Mm-hmm. She can't, if she's called the court to testify as to the jury issues, I think she may have to take the fifth because there's an impaneled grand jury right now about her. And if she can't talk, that's going to make any judge nervous.
Yeah.
I originally said no lower court judge would do anything in favor of Alex Murdaugh because of the public scorn they would get. They would make an appellate court do it. If Alex is going to get a reversal, you let, you know, five guys, seven women up there with robes on, let them make that. But I'm not going to do it. And up until Judge Newman recused himself, and I think he was told to recuse himself by our Chief Justice of the Supreme Court.
And probably a good decision.
Alex has not gotten one single ruling, Tony, mm-hmm. since September 21 in his favor. Not one. We beat Harputlian and Griffin on 9 motions. Mm-hmm. In any case, whether it's bail, reformation of the bail, modification of the bail, whether it's an evidentiary issue, he's not won up until Judge Newman getting off this case. And that is a big win mm-hmm. because we know how Judge Newman feels about Alex Murdaugh. One, he talked about it in his sentence. He also talked about it at Cleveland State, where he, after the trial, he went to his alma mater. He talked about it on the Today Show. But he also talked about it last week or a week and a half ago. He let Alex talk for an hour. He could have shut him down.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's kind of like Sun Tzu, you know, when your enemy's talking and destroying themselves, don't interrupt them. Well, at the end, he said, you know, I don't remember if you recall it. He said, I don't know who you are. And I fear that you don't even know who you are. I would have thought that somebody would stand in front of me and learn from what has happened. But you don't seem to have any type of remorse, any type of compassion that would educate you on, wow, I really hurt my profession. I hurt people who were close to me, you know, his family. I mean, one of the things I said is you destroyed Buster's, your son's reputation forever.
Yeah.
You know, this guy should be on the Mount Rushmore of criminals, Tony. You know, he's hit for the cycle. He's convicted of every single crime plus double murder. I mean, he's the career of all criminals, the criminals of the best we had. So the first win, I think, was getting Newman off the case. A new judge is going to come in. But I'm really fearful that there's been just this snowball over Becky Hill. One, even if she survives this without criminal prosecution, her job's gone.
Yeah.
She can't have the trust I don't think, even though there's no evidence that she's done anything wrong. It's now the appearance of impropriety. You know, too much has come up, yeah, is what somebody's going to say. I've spoken to her. She is a wonderful woman. I was very confident and remain confident on the jury interference issues, but I just don't know enough about the monetary issues in her son. You know, that's just crazy.
It feels like there's just too much coming on here. I was thinking there's not a chance this is going to work. If we were just strictly talking on the jury tampering issues, I thought that would work itself up. But then the sun came up and then all the other things came up. And it's like, this is turning into a snowball that didn't need to take place. We'll have to see exactly how that all plays out.
Want to listen ad-free? Want advanced access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial-free,
so you can binge on true crime
until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now, or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.